You know, it's usually at this time of year that preachers use New Year's as an opportunity to speak about topics of apathy within the church, or maybe they challenge their congregations to be more intentional about setting spiritual goals as they do other goals, do one's proclamations of New Year's resolutions. And I'll confess, I have been guilty of doing these exact same things in my years of service as a pastor. But this New Year Day, I would like to offer something different, kind of like we did for the Christmas sermon. Today, I would like for you and me to venture down the road of grading our church by examining Green Forest United Methodist Church's performance, duties, and actions as a Christian community in the year ending 2022. Now, let me tell you why I have come to believe that this is spiritually profitable for this congregation. You see, we know that reflection is necessary, a very necessary skill when a company is looking to evaluate their process into accomplishing either their vision or mission statements. It serves, if you will, reflection as a mirror, allowing a person or a community to see oneself for who they truly are. Sometimes this can be very rewarding. Sometimes it can be kind of harsh, especially when the facades of life are removed from our perceptions. Other times, reflection, though, truly serves as an affirmation or confirmation that one is moving toward the goals they desire. And you might be surprised to know that the Bible encourages us in numerous places for the people of God to remember. To remember, to reflect, and to resolve to be more godly. Failure to pause and reflect invites us to run the chance of not remembering who we are. And to forget who we are will cause us to reject our purposes of being a community of faith. We see that numerously throughout the Hebrew and Jewish heritage portion of our Christian faith. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the importance of remembering was so impressed upon the heart of God that he gave us one of the commandments for us to remember the Sabbath. It wasn't about a day, but about remembering the actions of God within that week-to-week span. There's also times in Moses' life where it's recorded more than once that he is telling the Hebrew people to remember. The first time he told them to remember was the day that God led them out of Egypt. That's where the practice and celebration of Passover began. And the next time that Moses was told the people to remember was when they were about to cross the Jordan and occupy the Promised Land. This act of remembrance was to physically build an altar. If we move and jump into the New Testament, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when consecrating Holy Communion with his words of institution, he instructs you and I to remember when receiving the Holy Sacrament. So I hope that you are able to see why I think today's message, this untraditional New Year's Eve message on remembering, reflecting, and resolving is so relevant. Now, there's tons of passages that I could have chose this morning that speak about remembering. But I want to introduce you to one that I think maybe it will be new to you. At least it was new to me, even though I have read over it several times. It's found in the book of Psalm. And so if you brought your Bible or you have one on your table at home close to you, please grab it and open it to Psalm 77. If you wish to use the Bibles provided in the pews, please open that Bible to page 471. As always, the passage of Scripture will be provided on the screen for you if you're in need of those, that application. But I do want to invite you to join with me where we start in verse 1 of that chapter, and we will read through verse 13. Again, Psalm 77, verse 1 says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Verse 3 says, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days and the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? But listen to these words in verse 10. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your mercies of long, your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? It's our tradition to conclude each reading saying this is the word of God for the people of God, and all respond, say, thanks be to God. Will you please join me in a short prayer? Oh Lord, today I ask that you will help us to remember not only the things that I will share that we have done as a congregation, but that through this time of worship and your presence here, that you will minister to each heart and soul, reminding us of those times when we were individually touched by your hand, when we were sustained, when we were given inspiration and hope, when what seemed to be the darkest days of our life were drowned out by your goodness, your light, and your faithfulness. Bring those things to our mind, O God, as we prepare to move into this new year, this new season of seeking to be a church of hospitality, a church that shares your love, your joy, and your peace to all. This I pray in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the psalmist of our text, I believe, seems to find himself in a time where the ways of God were not prevalent. I think the parallelisms of his day are much like ours, and let me explain. We know that once in our history, for most of us who are still alive, maybe you are in a little older than me, but you can remember a time when Christianity was so embedded within the lives of people within this nation that a community of faith knew the rhythm of ministries. Families went to church, period. Mamas and daddy raised their kids in church, and they cared for the needs of those who made up the community of faith. Programs were intentionally built around the fact that people already, pastors and leaders already knew people were going to show up and participate. Now on January 1, 2023, more people identify as non-religious than they do religious. More people today question the validity of God than people did 50 years ago. With the contagious onslaught, or continuous onslaught of evil represented in our news coverage, folks wonder where this God of Christianity is at. Like the psalmist, many people, some even being Christians, are unable to realize the presence and help of God. The darkness of the world has seemed to drown out the light of Christ from one's mind and one's heart. The distress of the unknown consumes and breaks down the assurances and certainties once known of God. And as we prepare to live into this new year, we're going to face uncharted territory for living out our purposes as a community of faith. Hardship's going to come, friends. Change will happen regardless of how much you may choose to resist it. And when change happens, loss occurs. What's that old saying you say, David Waller? For something to grow, something's got to die? It's not that he's a great philosophical quoter. But he's a man who's astute in studying Scripture. And anywhere you read in Scripture, for change to happen, something had to die. Whether it was a principle, a thought process, something somebody valued, something had to die so that the cause of Christ may become greater. John the Baptist said, less about me and more about Christ. He knew. What had to die for him wasn't necessarily things around him, but the things that he held valuable within himself. Those things had to die for Christ to become more. With change will come loss. And that's the harsh realities that we're going to face in 2023. The other part of it is that as we continue to engage people for the sake of the gospel, we will have to learn that it's going to be less about programs and more about adaptive missions. While we don't know in full what this might look like, and as uncomfortable as it might make us feel, let us do what Scripture tells us to do. Before we get worked up in the I don't knows, the what ifs, the concerns of what will the future look like, let us just pause today, if nothing else, just for this time of worship, to remember the deeds of the Lord in 2022, the deeds that nurtured us and sustained us through this past year. Now, you may not remember this, or you may not know it because you've been absent from church because of COVID and other reasons, but at the end of the year 2021, a team from this church placed themselves in a secluded area to prayerfully discern, discuss, and decide what our new identity would be as we entered into a post-COVID world. And within that time frame, this group, they prayed, they discussed, they worked, they prayed some more, they discussed some more, they worshiped and shared in Holy Communion. And through that whole time, they practiced hospitality to one another as they cooked, worked alongside, and served each other. Therefore, our focus was about how to embrace and live out an identity of hospitality for the life and ministries of Green Forest United Methodist Church. We began very simple. We evaluated if our expression of hospitality was evident outside the walls of the church. We realized that our lack of signage didn't communicate that we were expecting to be a church of hospitality. Once we identified those areas, we agreed to address those very simple things. They were signs put on doors, signs put on the building showing where to go for worship, where to go for church office, signs outside telling people what time we worship. You know, I don't know if you, I've only been here 5 years, but four of the 5 years I was here with you, did you know you never had anything that showed anybody what time you worshiped? Do you know how many people have come from churches I've served in the past who wanted to worship and never made it into the doors of the church? You know why? Because they showed up at 11, and if we weren't already done and they seen we were still worshiping, they left. Or if we finished early, there was nobody here to greet them and tell them that the time was at 10 o'clock. Simple things, yet profound things, profound statements that let everybody know, at least outside the walls of the church, I hope inside, that we were a church that was about to become an expectant church, a church that was expecting to have guests every morning, and they needed to know where to go and where to sit and what to do and what time to show up. All right. Then we looked at many different practices of hospitality. I could go on and on. Let me just jump forward. Eventually, through prayer, we looked at six new ministries grounded in hospitality. And now maybe this is a time I need to define hospitality for all of us, the way we understand biblical hospitality to be defined. And this is the definition that we embraced. It is to honor and obey God by serving those around us. Now, from this understanding, we felt that the Holy Spirit guided us in needing to provide hospitality for our already worshipers through a simple yet inviting coffee bar. And it was the first action that we did in addition to placing the signage. We put up a makeshift, I don't even remember what it was, a couple of tables on a roll-around cart and some kind of mess that was stuck under it with a drape laid over it, and it parted out a coffee bar. And listen, we were concerned. We were concerned that some of you were going to bow up and say, "How dare you bring a cup of coffee into this sanctuary? Don't you know it's something holy?" And yet, to our surprise, a few of you did say something to me like that. But most of you were like, "Man, what a great concept. We're able to sit here and have coffee and donuts. You mean we can bring them into the sanctuary? We can continue this feeling of hospitality, this comfortableness. We can come in and sit down and I can talk to whoever over a cup of coffee before worship starts." And it became something that was contagious, this excitement around something that was so simple yet so profound, provided by the Holy Spirit's guidance. In our time together, we also realized that our food ministries were not serving all of those around us because we were only open during normal business hours. This meant that the families who worked but still needed help were not getting the opportunity or their needs met through our times of service. And it was at this retreat, through the nudging of the Holy Ghost, that we decided to do something unconventional by opening the food pantry up in the evening after normal business hours. And friends, we just don't meet a physical need by giving them food. We also have a box there for them to place their prayer concerns in so that we might also meet a spiritual need in their life. And I know that not all of you are afforded the blessing of being able to be here to have interaction with our neighbors. But those who have interaction with me and some of the others will tell you, you just don't know how much of a blessing that simple adjustment, that unconventional idea has been for so many who are struggling in between times, needing just a little bit of help with food substance. Through our discussion and identifying needs within our community, we also felt led to start an additional opportunity for folks to have a place to come and participate in meetings that would encourage and support one's sobriety. Therefore, the AA meetings would become an expression of hospitality to our community, a place where individuals could come into the fellowship hall, a safe place where they could meet with people and share their most vulnerable experiences, to be authentic, to be transparent, to not be judged, but to be loved, to be accepted, and to be encouraged. As sobriety is just one day at a time, and sometimes it's just 1 second at a time. But through the power of their friendships and their relationships, through the power of their God, I know for our group, our God is Christ. The chains that seem to have made them believe that they will never break free have been broken. And they're still using this expression of hospitality to break people free from the bonds of addiction. It was during this weekend that this group of us felt that we were receiving a bit of confirmation from God for our initial partnership with Tom on Thanksgiving. And that needed to be continued to be an annual outreach for this church, as well as to start the van ministry. You know, Dave and I and a few others have started this van ministry, I don't know, half a dozen times, right, Dave? We get people that will say they'll drive, and then they don't drive. We get people say they want to ride, then they don't want to ride. And so it becomes something that was not healthy. It was discouraging. But during this weekend, the Holy Spirit laid on us that van ministry had to be a constant expression of hospitality for this church. And it didn't matter who or who did not ride in the van. What had to be was a continuous expression, a continuous opportunity for people to be able to know that they had a means or a way to get here and home if they wanted to be in worship. And listen, that was challenging. That was challenging because we already had past experiences that weren't positive. And yet, thanks be to God, the ministry not only has two solid drivers, the Hutchison boys, and no, they're not kin for those of you at home, but we also have had the opportunity to see people like oh my goodness, I've had a senior moment. The gentleman used to come that we picked up in the wheelchair. Ira Bowman, thank you. Now today, even though Ira has went on to the church triumphant, we have the blessing of having Tim with us on Sundays, sharing in celebration of worship, but also extending his gifts and graces to this congregation. And listen, as tough as that decision was about the van ministry, this next one was even tougher. We felt that God was calling us to rebirth a children's ministry. And we thought, or I thought, how can we be a church of hospitality if we didn't offer anything for those among us who are the most vulnerable, the most impressionable, the very one God calls us to emulate in our faith? And I didn't share this with Dave. I didn't think I had to. But for me, this was a God-sized dream. And let me tell you why. Because after our first experience with Faith Weavers, lots of you were very skeptical about ever restarting it. But then, as God always does, He touched the heart of one person. One person. He moved within that person's heart with help, inspiration. And once again, Faith Weavers is a reality. Is it at the magnitude and size that it was prior? No. Does that bother me? No. It's at the size that it needs to be right now for God to work through those who are dedicated to its ministry. There will come a time, a new season, maybe in 2023, when it will grow, when new folks will step up and serve. But right now, I'm just excited the working of God only needed to touch one person to make it reality. That's a message within a message to all of you, to me as well. Sometimes it just takes God nudging one person to make a complete difference within the life and expression of a community of faith. Of all these things identified, God has worked it to where finances, volunteers, and other resources were provided so that Green Forest United Methodist Church could be identified as the church of hospitality within our community. But let me share one last piece with you that may go unnoticed by this body. You may be surprised to know that we have more people within the church actively involved in ministry than ever before since I've been your pastor in the last 5 years. We even have people who continue to serve in roles that they always served in, and people serving in new roles within the life and ministries of Green Forest United Methodist Church. And here's the exciting part for me. We even have people who are serving in the life of this church who will never darken the doors of this congregation. Service through volunteerism. Service by giving up of their time in the middle of the day to deliver food. Service to minister to others in ways that some of us are not comfortable in doing. And yet these people haven't ever darkened the door since I've been your pastor, and may never darken the door of this congregation. Now friends, as your preachers, these are benchmarks of success in my evaluation. They are eyewitnesses' accounts of God's gracious power at work in our midst. People feel connected to God because they have a connection to this church and because they have a connection to you. Some of the people that help us that in ministries through volunteerism that don't come to the church, may never come to the church, you know where we met those relationships at? For those of you who are good Baptists watching, please excuse this sacrilegious comment. We met them at the bar. Our relationship with them is through our intentional practice of serving Thanksgiving with them. And even though they don't come into this church, doesn't mean they do not value you as a person or value what we do. But right now in their life, because of their connection with you, they feel connected to God. Has anybody ever told you that because of who you are and the relationship you have with them, that they feel that they're connected to God because of you? Have any of you ever had been told that in your life before? Raise your hands if you have. Nobody in this church has ever been told that because of a relationship you have with an individual, that they feel connected to God. They feel connected to something bigger than themselves, meaning in the church. No one? Well, then good. Hear it today from me for the very first time. There are people in this community who feel connected to God because they are connected to you. They feel connected to this church because they are connected to you. That's exactly what hospitality lived out for the glory of God is supposed to accomplish. This is how God makes disciples who makes disciples for the transformation of the world. So if I were to go back and to give Green Forest United Methodist Church a grade for their performance duties and actions as a Christian community in the year ending 2022, I would give us an A. An A. I just pray. As I wrote this sermon, I continuously was hindered in my writing as this prayer went over and over in my mind, and I share it with you now. I just pray that as we enter this new year of 2023, that we will resolve to go deeper. Not because I think that we need more to do or you need more to do as an individual, but because in the going deeper, we see more and more of God's work in our midst. By going deeper, we continue to be transformed by the hand of God through the work of God. By going deeper, when change comes, we will see it as opportunities for ministry instead of threats to our identity and our faith. And last but not least of my prayer is that when we go into this new year and we face uncertainties, whatever way they present themselves, that we will remember just how faithful God was through 2022 so that we can step forward in expectation and anticipation of just how good and faithful God's going to be for us. in 2023 as we continue to seek to be people who live out the life, the ministry, and the mission of Jesus Christ. So may we be a people who remember, reflect, and resolve that God will be as faithful this new year as He was last year. There's a lot more I'd like to say. We've already gone past my time. We'll have a meeting January the 22nd after worship. If you're a member of the Green Forest United Methodist Church and you're worshiping with us from home, you need to make plans to be here for that meeting. That meeting will be a discussion about the current state of the United Methodist Church and what that might mean for Green Forest. Might mean nothing, may be no potential of anything. But the discussion is felt by the leadership that it needs to happen so that all who want to be educated and in the know will be led by the leadership of the church with the truth that is present now, and to dismiss so much false information that is out. This meeting may be challenging. This meeting will definitely be uncomfortable. Not for all, but for some. I pray again that we will remember, even in that meeting, the goodness and faithfulness of God in 2022. And not to let this meeting derail us from what our purposes are as a community of faith for 2023. Will you please join me in a short prayer? Oh God, we are so grateful for your continued faithfulness. So grateful, God, for the ways that you go above and beyond to reveal yourself to us. How patient you are with us when we choose to have blind eyes or deaf ears to your presence, to your promptings, to your provisions. We know, Lord, that this new year is full of great opportunities. And there will, no doubt, be moments of uncertainties, questions, and struggles. Help us to not lose sight of your goodness and your faithfulness. Help us to not lose sight of those times when you intimately spoke to our hearts, those times when you revealed yourself to us, to help us grow past our own pains, our own hurts, our own poor decisions. You've saved each of us from the evil one, and you've saved each of us from ourselves. May we continue to rely upon these truths and these provisions as we move forward to be a missional church, through the gifts and graces of hospitality, so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We love you, God. And in the words of Miss Margaret, thank you doesn't seem to be adequate enough. But we do offer our thanks for the blessings of 2022. And we live excitingly and expectantly into the blessings in life and ministry of Green Forest United Methodist Church through 2023. Guard, guide, and protect us this day, this week, but continue to use us, we pray, in the precious name of Christ our Lord.